Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to Writer and Geek Show.
So, first of all, we'd like to take a few minutes and thank you all for making this such a huge success. And because we are going to complete 2 years on 27th.
Yeah, so I think we started publishing episodes on 27th of 2017, but our actual first episode went live on June 1st. So by the time this episode comes, I'm not expecting it to cross that date, but we will be somewhere close, right?
Should we give the date when we recorded this?
I don't think that is necessary.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, coming back to that, thank you so much for the overwhelming support that you guys have given us in the past 2 years. We have had ups and downs, but throughout the journey, we have had some really... we have got to know very really interesting people, and we have had very dedicated and genuine subscribers and listeners who have reached out to us, given us feedback, and you know, shown us a lot of love.
Whether you listen to a podcast or you used to listen to it and stopped it, or you're gonna start listening to it sometime in the future, you know, we are so thankful for you, all of you, you know, we are grateful for you know, making this happen.
Yeah, and also special thanks to the Bangalore podcasting scene. We have made a lot of friends in the past 2 years. That has been great as well. We feel we are a part of this excellent community that is growing every day. We have had multiple meetups, and we have seen how the crowd has grown from the first meetup that we had. So it feels incredible to be a part of this community, and this journey has been amazing. So with that, again, thank you so much from our side, and we'll move on to today's episode.
Yeah, so as our last episode, you know, the one we did with Indian Noir, we got a lot of great response, right? So it was actually overwhelmingly positive response, and a few of my friends also reached out. They were like, you know what, that was really spooky because you guys put your personal experience into it.
I think 95%
made it even worse.
Yeah, I think 95% of the success is because Nikesh has such a good voice.
Shout out to him, go check out his podcast Indian Noir. So so we're gonna continue that same theme, right?
Yeah, I think people like spooky things, then why not? So we have selected a topic today which is spooky at the least, because it's much more than spooky. There is a lot of controversies, and there are a lot of unrevealed truth behind this this incident that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, basically it's a big conspiracy. You know, there are like a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding it. So we thought we'll continue with the theme and select the topic, which is Dyatlov Pass incident.
Yeah, who doesn't love a good conspiracy? I mean, people like to think that Elon Musk is an alien. So that comes nothing close to what we're going to discuss. So we're going to talk about Dyatlov Pass incident, which happened in 1959 in Russia. That time it was USSR. Cold War has just started. World War was over. And that actually added to the tension behind this, right? Because a lot of conspiracy theories say there is a government cover-up and all that, which we'll come to later. But this is a story about a bunch of students from the Ural Polytechnic Institute who went on a trek from which they never returned.
Yeah, so I got to know about this thing like a few years ago, and
I think we have to quote Ranjit. Thanks.
Yes,
to he's the reason for most of the episodes that we publish.
Yeah, he's the mastermind behind all of these things, but we are just not giving him enough credit.
Yeah, I think we should include him in a podcast, probably bring him in and ask him to talk about some stuff later. I don't know how interested he might be.
Religion, probably. Yeah, okay, let's just get
that
back.
Might be the last episode of our podcast.
Yeah, let's get back to this. So the first time I read about it, it was very interesting. Okay, so I was like, okay, 9 hikers, they went on a hike and they never returned, probably because it was a harsh environment in the Siberian mountains, and it was just normal. I felt it's normal, but as I dug deep into it, the circumstances which engulfed this incident made me realize that this is not just a case of, you know, a few hikers, you know, getting stuck on a mountain and, you know, dying. The circumstances actually reveal that there is a bigger conspiracy behind this, which we are still wondering what it is, right?
Yeah, I have a little different view. I feel that this you know, happened due to natural causes, and it was just blown out of proportion because of the events surrounding, I mean, the time when it happened and all that kind of stuff. And also because people like to hear stuff which are otherworldly, supernatural and all that. I think this was, I'll give my hypothesis later, but I think this was something that was caused by natural calamity or something like that. That's my take on this. And I think I'm just being more practical about this.
Yeah, but you know what? What did Sherlock Holmes say about these kind of cases?
Well, he's also a work of fiction, you see.
But he has always been right, right? Even though it's fiction, you know, whatever seems the most improbable thing, that might be the case, you know?
Yeah, that is only if everything else fails.
Yeah.
But we have not been able to prove that everything else has failed in this
case.
Okay,
yeah.
And I think that will never happen because this is such an old case. And even the environment and circumstances around this this case has changed a lot over the past 60 years that I think it's beyond, you know, beyond finding truth is beyond anyone.
Only if we get a time machine or something, probably we can figure it out.
You know what? You don't need a time machine. You just need Bran to be here.
Yeah, let's not get him into this thing because I hate him. Yeah.
Actually, I don't. That being said, I think we cannot just go forward without mentioning Game of Thrones. Once.
Yeah, but so that's
I just want to know. Probably, you know, our listeners can let us know through comments or social media. What did you think about the ending of the series?
I think we'll get an overwhelmingly negative response about it from India.
Mm.
You know, everywhere, but I'm talking about India alone because you know, actually, it was not the only, you know, disappointing thing which happened this week, right? Yeah.
Interestingly, okay. Probably not. But
yeah.
Then, yeah. So anyway, Game of Thrones was a disappointment because of various reasons. I was not happy at all. But then we move on. Right. So yeah. Okay. Coming back to Diatlov Pass incident. So we'll get into the details of what had happened and, you know, go through the timeline of the events as well. Right. Mm-hmm. So they had decided to start the trek somewhere around the end of January. So on 25th of January, they arrived at the town called Ivdel, which is in the center of northern province of Sverdal. I mean, it's too difficult. It's all Russian. So I'll just try my best.
Just try to pronounce it.
Ivdel is a town in the center of one of the northern provinces of Soviet Russia. And they arrived early morning on 25th of January. That was a base camp kind of a place, if you can say, where they collected, you know, some supplies for their trip going forward. From there, they took a train from their university town where the university was to this place called Ivdel. From there, they took a truck ride to a place called Vijay. They pronounce it Vijay, but since we are Malayalis, we kind of pronounce it Virai, which I don't think anyone can say.
The first time I read that name, I thought it's Vizag.
Well, that's
well, yeah, it was stupid. Anyway, yeah, the incident got its name from the team leader. Igor Dyatlov.
Yeah. So, before we get there. So, this was the last settlement towards the north. It's something like the last health in, you know, Game of Thrones before the wall. I just had to bring that reference.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as I said earlier, there were 10 hikers. I'll just briefly mention their names if I could pronounce them. I'm sorry if I'm butchering them, but, you know, that's the best we can do.
Good luck.
So, the team lead, as you said, was Igor Dyatlov. He was 23-year-old experienced hiker. And mountaineer, I think. So he was leading the group, and all of the group members were between 20 to 24 years of age, with the exception of Semyon Zolotaryov. I think he joined the group later, and he was not part of the university as well. He was a Russian soldier before, before joining the group. So that actually added to the conspiracy theory as well.
And there are like three Yuris, right?
Yeah. There are three Yuris in a team of nine.
So we'll call them Yuri Cube or something like that when we mentioned them. Anyway, all due respect, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Igor Dyatlov was the leader of the group. Then we had Yuri Doroshenko, who was 21 years of age. Then we had two ladies in the group as well. One of them was Lyudmila Dubinina.
Hmm.
She was 20 years. Then we had Zinaida Kolmogorova. She was 22 years of
good
age.
Work.
Then we have Yuri Krivonishenko.
Okay.
Alexander Kolevatov.
Hmm.
Then we have Rustem Slobodin.
Rustem?
It's not that Rustem. It's okay. Rustem. It's okay. R-U-S-T-E-N. Hmm. Not the Arabic Rustem. And Nikolai Brignoles. It sounds like a French name to me, in fact.
Yeah.
Right? And then we have Yuri Yudin. Hmm. Yuri Yudin is one of... I think he was one of the lucky ones. He is the one who couldn't complete the trek. He, in fact, had to return on 28th of January because he had certain health issues. Like, you know, some joint pain or some stuff like that.
Hmm.
So... as I said, they took a truck ride from the northern province towards a place called Visay. That was the last town before they entered the trek. So they collected a lot of, you know, supply equipments and food and bread. And they ate a lot of bread and all that stuff so that they can keep up their energy for the next day. And they started their trek towards Ototan from Visay on 27th of January. So that was where their actual trek in the mountains began.
Yeah, so I read a lot of diary entries which they wrote about the trip, and it was like they were having a lot of fun. You know, someone played instruments and all, and they were like playing the instruments all through while traveling on the train and the railway station and all. And in between, they had mentioned that they had played some propaganda, that you know, that kind of patriotic songs which were like not supposed to be
and
played in USSR.
I think cops had
some
they had some little difficult time with cops as well in the railway stations.
So they were like, you know, typical university students who just wanted to have a lot of fun while traveling. And one of them got arrested too, I think, because of some of the song issues and all that. And in between, they came across, I forgot his name, that what is the 38-year-old guy?
Zolotaryov.
Yes. So when he joined the trek, they were not happy because, you know, fun, easygoing university student group, they wouldn't like it, right? But still, they were fine with that. Like, when they started from their place to Visay, right?
Yeah.
They were late packing all the things and all that. So the diary entry, you know, says a lot about how they packed. They were in a hurry. They took whatever they could get. They put it inside the bag and they just left. So it was like a typical, you know, spontaneous group who would do things, you know.
Exactly.
What they feel like. But the thing is, what I've also came to know, that they were not, you know, what is that, leisure hikers. They had actually climbed a lot of mountains and they have like grade 2 certification in hiking, which is like, there are like three grades it seems, grade 1, grade 2 and grade 3. If you are a grade 2 hiker, it's like, you know, you are one of the best. And after this trip, if they had completed this trip, they would have got grade 3, which is like the highest, you know, position a hiker can get, which is like experienced hikers. So they were also doing this trek to, you know, get that certification.
So they meant business. It was not joking around and just going on, going like a walk in the park or something.
Yeah.
They had a genuine mission behind this.
Yeah, that too is that. Yeah.
Yeah, so they started their trek on 27th January from Visay, and Yuri Yudin had to return on 28th because of the health issues, and he was the last person to actually
see them,
you know, before they left for their trek. On 31st, so they continued their trek on 28th, 29th and 31st. So 31st, the hikers arrived at a highlanded area. The hikers arrived at a highland area and started preparing for their climb.
Hmm.
So the there was this mountain which was actually didn't have a name as such. If you look at the maps, it was just referred by a code name. But the local Mansi tribe, so that's a, you know, that was a tribe which was living in and around this area. They had given this mountain a very spooky name called Kholat Sakhil, which was a local Mansi name, which literally translated to Dead Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that is some, I mean, that was not a popular name at that point. When this incident became very popular is when people started coming up with stories about that mountain as well.
Okay.
Because that name itself suggested something that was not sounding that great. It's like an ominous name. So on 31st, they started preparing for the climb, and they saved a lot of, you know, supplies and surplus food in a wooded area for their return hike. So mm-hmm. they'll not be carrying everything up. While returning, they'll stop at, they plan to stop at this wooded area and get back their supplies and have enough food for return journey as well. But the but what happened was there was a crazy snowstorm that happened on that day, and that resulted in the hikers being deviated from their original path, and they ended up on the slopes of this mountain. Because of all this snowstorm, they lost their bearings and they ended up on the slope. Once they realized their mistake, now this is where people have differing opinions about judgment capabilities of Dyatlov, right? So it seems that they realized their mistake, and instead of returning back to the wooded area, which was like 1.5 kilometers down the slope, they decided to
camp there
on the slopes of the mountain, which would have probably been the turning point decision resulted in the death of all the hikers, right? Now, there are two theories suggested here. One says that Dyatlov was, when he was aware of the fact that they had lost their bearings and they ended up on the slope, he wanted campers to set up the camp on the slope because that would add to their experience of setting up a camp on the slopes of a mountain. I think which would have probably also added to the, as you mentioned, the grade three, yeah. You know, requirements. I don't know. Yeah. Now that you mentioned, I'm just thinking. So that might be one of the reasons. The second thing is that suggestion is kind of against Dyatlov's abilities. People suggested saying that he made a wrong decision of going up the slope. He didn't realize that could be dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. What I read about it is like he wanted the group to have that kind of experience where they can camp on the slopes of a mountain, and also he didn't want to go back because they had made this much progress, but he didn't know, right? Their fate would change just because of that.
Yeah. So now before leaving Vijay, right? He had told his sports club back in the university, saying that he would, on the return trip upon reaching Vijay, he will send a telegram. That would be somewhere around 12th of February.
Yeah, what he said was like, it'll reach at the least, you know, it'll reach by 12th.
Yeah, that's true. But again, when Yuri Udin was returning, when he was not feeling well to go ahead with the trek, he had also told him that there is a possibility that they might not return by 12th.
Yeah.
So a few days, you know, even if it gets delayed, he said, don't worry about that. So that was a promise that was made. So again, as I said, they reached the slopes of the mountain and decided to camp on the mountain slope itself. So since he had given this word that 12th, on 12th he would be messaging back, and he had told Yudin that, you know, even it might get delayed a bit. Even when the date came and went and there was no response, people, I mean his relatives and friends, they didn't panic much because these kind of delays are known to happen in treks.
But a few days turned into a week, and it was almost like Feb 20th.
Yeah.
That's when the family started panicking, and by 22nd, they were like saying, you know, you have to do something
exactly.
About it.
So, 1 or 2 days is fine, but when 5-6 days passed and it was 20th of February, that's when family and friend, they started asking the university to initiate a search. So initial search party consisted of teachers and friends of the hikers who started traveling towards the area where they had been missing, and later military also joined in the search. So the search started somewhere around 22nd, and on 26th of February is when the search party found the tent where the hikers were supposed to be. And the tent is another, you know, spooky thing where the search party found that there was nobody inside the tent. Most of the supply was still in the tent. There was no trace of the hikers. And this is the most interesting thing, right? It appeared that the tent was torn from inside, you know, at various places. And there were those footmarks coming out of the tent going downwards toward the wooded area. So that is what they found on 26th. And there were no bodies lying around, or nobody was around at that point.
And one more interesting fact they noticed were that most of them were not wearing shoes or socks, right?
Exactly.
And people who were wearing it were wearing one shoe and socks and all that kind
of thing. Yeah, so it felt like they left in a hurry where they didn't have time to put on warm clothes or shoes or something. And the tracks were all barefoot. But again, it's also been argued that they were not running or something. They were just walking down the slope into the direction of the wooded area. So initially, they could not find any bodies. But the next day is when they started finding bodies of the trekkers. So the set of footprints were heading towards the woods, I mentioned, right? So after 500 meters, they just disappeared. And that was probably because of a lot of snow falling in and around the area. And at the edge of the forest, there was a Siberian pine tree. So there was a visible sign of a fire under the pine tree. Looks like some of the hikers tried to light a fire for some warmth or something like that. But still, there was no trace of any of them. And even on the pine tree, branches were broken up to 5 meters, showing that someone had tried to climb up the pine tree, either for, looking into far distance or to escape from something. Right? That's also another...
Note that point. Yeah. Remember that.
It could be just to get a better vantage point to look at the tent, which was far ahead, like a kilometer and a half away. Or it could have been to escape from something.
Yeah.
That is what we don't know yet.
So, yeah, where did they find the bodies?
So, the first two bodies of Krivoshenko and Doroshenko were found shoeless near the fire site, wearing only their underwears.
Yeah.
So, they didn't have any warm clothing on them. So, that is a point to be noted again. And the further search in the snow between the camp, where the tent was, and the pine tree revealed the bodies of Dyatlov, who was the leader, Kolmogorova, and Slobodin.
Okay.
And their posts actually suggested that they were trying to return to the campsite, probably to get more food and warm clothing or something. And their bodies were at a distance of 300, 480 and 630 meters from the tree respectively. Wow. So they were not together.
Wow.
So it appears that they started off and on the way they actually died of hypothermia.
Okay. So what you're trying to say is that these guys, they left the tent. They tore off the tent. They got out and they walked towards the pine tree. Wooded area, and they tried to light without wearing any protective clothing or shoes, and they tried to they lit up a fire, and someone got on top of a pine tree, then climbed down, and there were any bodies there? Yeah, three bodies were there.
Two bodies were there,
wearing only their underwears.
Yeah,
and they found three more bodies, mm-hmm. which were like trying to go back to the tent,
right?
Probably to get protective clothing and all that.
Yeah.
So, what I feel is that after lighting this thing, and probably like two of them died there, mm-hmm. and the other three who were there, they were trying to go back, and while walking back, one died at a certain point. You think that would have happened or like?
I have what I was thinking is we could probably discuss more about this later in the episode also. But this is what I thought. Since the tent is torn and all that stuff, they would have been startled by something that was outside of the tent.
Hmm.
It could be anything. And they all decided to come out of the tent in hurry. So they had to tear up the tent so that everybody could come out. They came to the pine tree just to escape from whatever that was. And they remained there for some time. Also, they realized that they didn't have enough clothing to keep them warm, right? So they lit up a fire to keep them warm. And at the same time, one of them would have climbed up the tree to see what if that thing that scared them was still near the tent or not. And if he felt that the area was clear, three of them decided to go back and get the stuff for everybody.
And by that time, two of them died.
Yeah, because it was terribly cold. I think the temperature was around minus 20 degrees or something.
Wow.
It was really cold.
Wow.
So two of them probably would have died. And the others who were actually trekking back to the campsite also didn't have much of clothing and stuff. So on the way, hypothermia would have caught up and they also perished.
Yeah, and they found all these bodies in late Feb.
Because the search had started only on 26th. Mm. So these bodies was found on 27th. And still there are four remaining hikers, right?
Yeah.
They were nowhere to be found. And they were not found until 4th of May. So you can imagine how much time has gone by, right?
Wow.
So February and then you had March, then April and then May. The reason for that is the bodies were actually under 4 meters of snow. About 75 meters into the woods away from the pine tree.
Yeah, so they had crossed. So they had crossed the pine tree and went a little
further into the woods.
Further into the woods. Okay.
So that actually, I think that signifies that they were probably the last one to die.
Yeah, and they had a lot more protective clothing. Yeah, a
lot more
right?
protective clothing. And they also had clothing from the dead, the hikers who had probably died earlier. So a few of the remaining four hikers were wearing the clothes of others.
Wow.
So that probably implies that there were some hikers who had died. And for the others to survive the cold better, they would have probably removed the clothes from the ones who have died and they put it on themselves.
Okay. And there were also certain other mysteries, surrounding them, right? The way they died and they had sustained some injuries too.
Yeah. So the remaining... when the search had started, right? And when they started finding the bodies, an inquiry was started as usual. And during the time that the initial five hikers were found, there was nothing unnatural about their death. It was completely concluded that it's just hypothermia because... there were no injuries and there were nothing wrong with the bodies and stuff. It was a typical case of underdressing for the climate and dying as a result of cold. But when the last four bodies were found, the entire, the story changed. The reason being the last four bodies had visible physical injuries. Some of them had their chest fractured, skull fractured, and one of the ladies were missing her eyeballs and tongue and parts of her lips and stuff like that, right? So then that is when the inquiry took a different turn and they couldn't just go ahead and say that it's just hypothermia. Because the doctors who were evaluating the bodies during the postmortem mentioned that to cause these kind of fractures, it had to be a force equivalent to that of a car coming and hitting your body. That was something that they could not effectively
explain
how that would have happened. Again, there are many theories and reasoning. One of the very common thing is that says that they fell into a ravine or something. Like there was a hole in the ground and they fell into it. And in the fall, they fractured their skull and broke their
bones. It's also said that there was no external physical injury when it comes to the fractures, right?
So there was no skin broken or any wounds or anything. It was only internal, fracture.
Yeah. Even in the first case, they should have been skeptical, right? Even though they died of hypothermia, they were not wearing any protective clothing. Why would they just jump out and, run could, off, right?
Yeah, that is one thing. I mean, when the second bodies were found, probable explanation might be that the people who died in towards the end would have just taken their clothes.
Hmm. Yeah.
Also, Dubnina, whose eyes and tongue were missing, later, it was speculated that it's only because of... She was very close to a water stream under ice, under the snow. And that would have just decayed her body faster was the eroded explanation the that was given.
Organs,
yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. And... So, as it stands, something happened during the night of 31st January and 1st Feb, which resulted in these experienced hikers leaving the comfort of their shelter out into the, difficult climate of Siberia, into the, wilderness and resulting in their death ultimately.
That too, not wearing their protective clothing and everything.
Exactly. So that's kind of a contradictory thing if you see. Usually you would run to the shelter and protection. In this case, it was something else. So that is what is the most striking thing about this case as well. We are not able to explain why these hikers who are experienced enough, they're not just normal people. As you said, they are grade 2 hikers. They know exactly what would happen if you go out and what is a safe thing to do. They completely just acted entirely in opposite way that was supposed to happen.
Yeah,
so
it's very erroneous, like when you think about it, what they've done. But so let's proceed. We have given a description. So let's proceed and what kind of conclusions the inquiry.
Yeah, so there are a lot of theories about this. Let's start with what they concluded first.
Yeah.
So they concluded that the hikers had died of compelling natural force. And I don't know who can give a definition to what this compelling natural force is. It doesn't, at least for when I was reading, it didn't make any sense to me. It's a compelling natural force is how they close the files. Because during this Cold War era, they didn't reveal most of the details of this case to public. They had put it into secret archives. Only when, USSR
broke up
in 90s is when the files came out. And I heard that recently in 2018 or 19, they have restarted the inquiry.
Yeah, they did. I think 2019. this year. So they started the inquiry, but I'm not sure like what they'll be able to find. It's been 60 years, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The entire circumstances around the case has changed. If you go back to Dyatlov Pass, which you can today, and the military had actually closed it for 3 years after the incident, saying that for safety reasons or whatever it is. Again, that's a point of speculation as well. Now you can go to Dyatlov Pass. You can go to the place exactly where the hikers died. But what do you expect to find there?
Yeah, nothing. Like, even if you think about when they released it, right? That was almost like 30 years later. Exactly. Like in 90s.
Yeah. And again, it's almost 30 years since the release of the documents.
So you can't expect to find anything unless you have a time travel machine or something, probably. So probably we should get into the other explanation on the conspiracy theories,
gunmen closed the case saying that they died of compelling natural force. But then there were so many other theories surrounding this. One of the first theories that came out was, as I mentioned, there were this Mansi tribe which lived around the area, right? So some speculated that these hikers had encroached into their area. They got into some kind of fight or scuffle with these local Mansi people and they had killed them. But again, Mansi people are not known to frequently visit this area because that was not a place where they could hunt or do anything at all. So they never visited this area at all.
They themselves call it the place of the death, right?
Yeah, Mountain, and they didn't want to do anything. And again, they were not very
violent
or people who guarded their territory. They were not very territorial kind of a tribe as well. So that theory could be easily dismissed.
Also, that won't explain how the last four hikers died, right? Because they had, even though they had injuries, those were like because of compelling natural forces, right?
Yeah, I think those were not injuries that human beings could inflict. That was the findings. And that was the first theory which came out. And also people said it might be because of robbery, but easily you can discard that theory because nothing valuable was taken from the hikers. If it was a robbery, we would have lost a lot of stuff, but you know, that never happened. Animal attack is another theory that was given out, but there was no visible marks of animal attack or something. And this area was not a hunting ground for any kind of predators, although there were, wolves and other bears and all those animals much, much to the south of this area. So that theory also didn't hold good. And another theory, which I think is one of my favorite theory or one of the theories which I could probably believe, was that of an avalanche.
Okay.
Right. And this area is not known for any recorded avalanche at all. But so that is that's where it doesn't hold good. But this is my theory, if you ask me. Avalanche is kind of a scary thing to happen when you are hiking, right? So probably these hikers would have heard something similar to that of sound of an avalanche or something. Whether it happened or not, we don't know.
Yeah.
If it had not happened, but they could have heard some sound similar to an avalanche because it makes a huge noise, right? And they would have got so scared that they thought that an avalanche is coming. They would have cut open the tent. They would have run down. Later, one of them climbed over the tree and they realized, you know what, there was no avalanche. It was a false alarm. Then they would have decided to go back or get some clothes back to the... Because they might have been scared that the slope is actually, very prone to avalanche or something. And in that process, as I mentioned earlier, they got hypothermia and they died. This is my theory.
But that does not explain the other four. Even though it's the most probable one, there are still some doubts.
Well, that can be explained. Probably one of the points that I missed was near the other four hikers, there was a den which was found, which they had made out of snow so that they could get some warmth. So I feel that they would have felt safer to move into the woods. Maybe they would have heard some animals or something just to stay out of the open area. I mean, that's how I can explain it.
Yeah. Probably.
So avalanche is one thing which is still one of the theories which holds good, much better than all the other crazy theories. And one of the most interesting theories that they came up with was that it was a part of Soviet military project.
Yeah,
they say that maybe one or all of the hikers would have unknowingly entered some military area, and just to keep things in control, they would have been a result of
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that explains it. But even then, you know, hypothermia and...
One of the things that gave this theory a lot of popularity was one of the bodies of one of the hikers was very much radioactive. So they thought that this might be a result of some experiment was being carried out in some area. He would have got exposed to it and, you know, Soviet military would have found that out and they chased him and found out the entire group and killed them. But my question here is, why would anyone do a test for radioactivity in a dead body, first of all?
I have no idea.
Right? That itself is spooky.
Yeah.
What is the reason that you should go and do a radioactivity test during postmortem? Yeah. Unless you know there is something to be found.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Again, it's an open theory still.
And there is another theory where, you know, there were like other hikers who were a little further away.
Yeah, I think 50 kilometers south of these guys who saw these red orange
explosion
balls.
Kind of thing. Yeah. Something
in the sky.
So, and yeah, one more thing is that Yuri Yudin, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had attended the funeral of five of these hikers, I think, who were found later on.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that their bodies were like yellowish in color, which says that it was, you know, it had come in contact with some radioactive, some kind of stuff.
But again, I think a lot of exposure and sunlight and all those things also cause the same thing.
Because the first few bodies were found by the end of February. But the other four were found 2 or 3 months later, right? They were exposed to a lot of...
So there is this, I don't know if you have seen this video. Who was the first person who tried climbing Mount Everest and he didn't return? I forget his name.
Yes. His body is still there, right?
Yeah, his body is still there. And one of the videos actually shows the parts of his body, which is very much yellowish in color and similar to what, you know, you just explained. So are you Googling his name now?
Yeah. His name is George Mallory.
Yeah. Yeah, so his body was found and, you know, it has that pale yellowish color as well.
It was found recently if you, look into it, probably 20 years ago.
Yeah, if you're really interested, you can go and watch a YouTube video, but, you know, just be...
So he's said to have climbed Everest in 1924.
Yeah.
No one knows that if he have reached the summit.
Some people say that he was on the way to the summit. Some people say that he was on the summit and he died during the return journey.
Yeah.
So nobody knows.
Yeah, so that's another spooky
stuff. That might be the reason. Overexposure can also cause this yellowish color and stuff. Another thing, so as I mentioned, Soviet military, and you know, they also said that it's a government cover up, you know. And also one of the theories was Zolotaryov was not a part of the initial group. And I also mentioned that he has military experience and he was much older than all the rest of the group. It is said that he was a government agent and they had some weird mission with these hikers, and that is a result. And he also died in the end.
Yeah, died, right? Was it like a sacrifice kind
exactly.
of stuff?
Or maybe he didn't know that he would be killed in the end or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then another theory was that of infrasound theory. Infrasound is this very low frequency sound that is generated due to some natural source, and that actually makes you go mad.
Yeah,
so it's said that they started feeling panicky after they started hearing these noises, and that is a result that they ran out of the tent. And it doesn't have any basis to this theory. Also, doesn't hold good.
And it's said that when it's too cold, right, you feel like you're warming up.
That's called paradoxical undressing.
Yeah.
I think we have seen that if you watch this movie called Everest.
Yeah.
One of the person who gets stuck on the peak. So the thing is, when hypothermia starts setting in, you actually start feeling that your body is becoming very warm and you're feeling very hot. So what happens is people start removing the clothes that they already have, which will rapidly accelerate the hypothermia.
Yeah. If you want to get to know more about it, you got to watch Everest. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it is. So that infrasound theory and this paradoxical undressing, those are also some theories. And there was this theory about katabatic winds. So katabatic winds are winds which flow down the slope, usually in the polar regions. And these are usually not very dangerous, but there are some cases where they can reach hurricane speed. I think we have heard about katabatic winds back in one of the books that we read a long time back, in Dan Brown's
Deception Point. But I don't remember where it was.
Yeah, well, the hero of the story gets pulled by a parachute and he's just blown off towards the edge of the glacier and something like that. I still remember the story.
Oh, he gets stuck there, right?
Yeah, he gets stuck in a harness or something and the parachute keeps pulling him, or parachute or balloon or something. Mm. I don't remember exactly what was the plot, but I remember catabatic winds from that story.
Man, that was a long time ago. I have to go back and reread it.
Yep. So those are some of the theories. And one of the very interesting theories is that of a Yeti.
Yeah, that's what I support the most because, you know, it holds true very well. You know, they came to know that something is out there, so they tore open the tent and saw this Yeti, and they started running, and they were in a hurry because, you know, that's why they didn't wear any protective clothing.
Do you think a Yeti is a government project and government didn't want them?
No. See, listen to me. So one guy got into a tree and checked, you know, whether the Yeti is there, and they saw him again. And when it came close to them, right, you know, they were frightened and they died.
Well,
that kind of stuff happens. Okay. You know, they were like shocked to the core and they died. All of them died like that. Few fell into a ravine. Well, and, you know,
if you ask me, I feel that's a stupid story, but then it's fine. I think one of the other reasons that was given, this was more of a speculation, was that they started partying and it went out of control, where they started drinking and taking drugs and lost their bearings and all that. But they were known to not be irresponsible, so that theory also doesn't hold good. And another thing was that since there were two ladies in the group, they thought there might be some
scuffles.
Yeah, some friction. Friction between the guys and all that. But that also was dismissed.
I heard about it. Like, there were like a few crushes in between and all that. But the thing is that people who have interacted with these guys, right, this group, they have come out and said that, you know, these group never really got into any scuffle with each other. They were like a well-oiled machine which would work together and get their stuff done. So I don't think that happened. And they didn't carry any supply of this thing, alcohol or cigarettes. They had actually made a pact to not smoke for the entirety of the trek.
Right. I don't think you would reach a grade 2 level in trekking by being irresponsible anyway.
Yeah. So, those are all the theories, right?
Yeah, those are most of the theories. I think we have covered most of them. There might have been other local theories as well. And we can also come up with 10,000 theories that aliens and all that kind of thing.
Yes, aliens. So those were also there. You know, some aliens came and killed them and went off, it seems. Yeah.
Yeah. So, as I said, this case, it keeps growing on you if you start researching more and more, because you keep thinking about what would have happened.
What do you think actually happened?
So that's my theory, right? I think they would have heard something which made them feel that an avalanche was coming, or something was trying to threaten them outside the tent. They would have escaped out of the tent thinking that they will go back to the woods, probably, you know, get some shelter under the trees or on the tree or something like that. And in the process, they would have not taken most of their supplies, thinking that they can come back later or something. And that's what would have happened. They tried to come back and they died in the process, because it was much more, the climate was much harsher than they expected.
Yeah, and we cannot, you know, ignore the military fact also, USSR, because they are the ones who properly inquired everything. And it said that they kept the findings to themselves for 30 years, right?
Right.
And they are the ones who conducted the postmortem, and all the reports were with them. So who knows, right? There was like something even bigger behind the whole scene.
Exactly. And although we say that they released the reports in the 90s, we don't know if it was a complete report. Yes. Or we don't even know if it was completely a fabricated report just to hide everything that was true.
Maybe that place is the Area 51 of USSR.
You never know. But was not the... I mean, as I said, right, they locked down the place for 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's also a little, something that makes you think.
Fishy.
Because what if they were just trying to hide and clean up the place for the 3 years and make sure that, you know, whatever happened, nobody gets a clue about it. And after that, it was open to public and you can still go and visit. And no, I don't think any further mishaps have been reported from that area.
Yeah, not from that area, but similar cases have happened.
Yeah.
I think in 1973, there were a group of 10 hikers who...
Yeah, that was much farther north, actually. Yeah. That was not near this area. But Speaking of which, there is a story that happened in America similar to this one, which we can probably bring up in upcoming episodes. And yeah. I'm sure that that also has many, many spooky points similar to this one. And of course, it can be one of the episodes.
This has been interesting.
Yeah, we can come up with more theories, keep speculating. But the truth is that I don't think it's ever going to be solved, right? This is something that will remain a mystery forever.
Yeah, I feel that too, because a long time has passed between the incident and the present. So we can only speculate.
Yeah.
And come up with original theories like Yeti.
Right.
Yeah, and just go with it. We can't do anything. So.
But
yeah.
Whatever happens, I just wish that if there is a, you know, afterlife or something, they would have just found peace.
Yeah. And if you find this interesting and go ahead and research, please let us know what kind of outcomes you
exactly.
come up with. And,
or even yeah. if you have a better theory than whatever we discussed, do let us know. We yeah. always love good stories and theories. And if we find something interesting, we'll probably read it out in one of the upcoming episodes.
And if you have other topics to talk about, be our guest. You
yeah,
know,
exactly.
We love a good conspiracy.
Also, if you think you're an expert in Diatlo Pass incident, we would love to give you a call and discuss about it and probably put out an episode yeah. on that as well.
Yeah.
And again, if you want to learn more about this, Wikipedia is a good source, but there is again a website called dyatlovpass.com. It's a recent website. I think it came out after this investigation started stuff. So you can go there and check. You can see the real diary entries of all the
photographs
travelers.
Are also
exactly.
there. It's very eerie. Like, they are having a lot of fun. You see them together, and it's just a fun group, but when you, you already know what happened to them,
exactly.
right? So it's very creepy when you look at it now.
Right.
And the tent, right? The tent pictures are there.
How can we miss that? So this is something that has actually been nagging my mind since the first day I started research. This was many, I think years ago, right? When we started discussing about this.
At least.
The first time when I thought about Dyatlov's Pass incident and I went and researched after Ranjit spoke to us about it, the one thing that struck me was the size of the tent. And you can go and see the picture of the tent, broken tent on internet. It doesn't seem like a tent that can hold 10 people. It
yeah.
seems like a tent that can hold probably 2 or 3 people. I was not able to find any explanation for this.
Yeah, it actually looks like a tent for two or three people max, because the pictures they have right now, it has like a lot of like couple of people standing
yes,
next to
exactly.
it.
Yes, so
exactly. And you can compare.
You get a scale of the
yeah,
tent.
You
right?
get a scale of that.
Yeah,
tent.
It's
yeah.
not just the tent. You'll actually get the scale of the tent, because there are people standing right next to it, and you can compare the sizes. So I don't know. Now I'm thinking whether was it the actual tent
yeah.
or is it something else? Is it a cover-up? We don't know.
Yeah.
So this remains a mystery.
Oh my God, think about it. Something just clicked. You know, what if the whole thing is just a setup? You know, they went and they never camped and they were killed even before that. And, you know, it was all arranged like this to create a conspiracy and, you know, just let people figure out things on their own. And the Soviet...
And what would be the intention behind that? I don't find a real intention.
See,
right?
Probably the experiment, you know, on them would be the thing which happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to cover it up. So the Soviet military, they just made a scenario, a scene,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, arranged everything in a way where you cannot figure things out.
Yeah, good that Soviet military no longer exists, although you would be in their hit list.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, of course. And you know what? Instead of... giving people something to talk about, they just kept mum. So it's the people who have been coming up with different ideas, right?
Well, another of the wild theories. So
yeah.
I think this is a good time to end. And thank you so much for listening to us. And if you like this episode, do let us know. We are The Writer and Geek on all the social media. And you can go to our website if you like and listen to our episode there as well. And you also have the ability to comment. Please do comment and let us know what your theories are about Dyatlov Pass. We'll probably read out your theory, or we'll invite you to our next episode if you want to talk about it. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again.
Bye.